This is Sunday, November the 21st, 1993. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Pat on the radio. I think we should applaud Overly. He got it right. Now that we have a larger room and we have the convenience of spreading out our meetings a little bit, thank you.
Overly got it right.
This always keeps you humble. I'm wondering if we can perhaps return a little bit to our calling list and the ones I'm getting a lot of petitions from, ones who would like to come, and of necessity and because of business changes and legal suits, etc., we had to narrow down the group gathering. I don't mind my enemy with me. You know, there's an old saying, it's a military saying, keep your friends very close, but keep your enemies closer. And yet there are many ones who simply wish to participate for whatever lessons they might be able to share. Many ones go to churches on Sunday. I recommend that you do that. If you can find one that relates to what is in your heart. You have to understand something. A church in this world today, a doctrine or an indoctrinated church, is no different than your social clubs. With one exception, they will usually make some effort to connect you with a higher power that basically represents goodness. And they will not be advocating to your children, you know, to go murder somebody. You are intelligent, thinking individuals. And if you can gain and glean and contribute in that social environment, do so. We're not we versus they. And they who would serve the adversary directly comes and calls himself we. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot keep from rubbing shoulders with that which is in this world, no matter who you are. And sometimes in your own wish to be pure and innocent and pious and whatever other reason that I can offer you, you will withdraw, not share, because you know more. No, you don't. You're just learning and you know these things a little quicker. So let's always be careful that we don't isolate ourselves, since we have no church, since we have no group as defined. You can get very lonely, very difficult. Where do you fulfill that need for community? You need community. And we, even if we were a group, need acceptance in the community. If our people will not participate with the community, they single us out, and that cult's over there. You know, they don't even mix with we people. So be careful. And know that there are some very exceptionally good churches around this community. There is a religious community that call themselves Christians that will also destroy your papers. They won't read them. They won't hardly touch them to pick them up, but they will throw them in the incinerator. They will also not dump them in the trash. They will burn them. Satan always wears a clue, and thus so will his tools. Now, this has been witnessed, so I'm not telling you something that is some big dark secret. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with our paper. That couldn't go on every Christian, every adversarial, every bookstand, or paper box anywhere in this world. Now, it would be silly to waste the papers in the depths of China where no one in the town speaks English. But they probably should be scattered about the village here. You know, you can't reach everybody you need to reach, and as long as you're in this village, ones are not going to want to subscribe greatly. There will always be the few who will subscribe, basically because they agree with you but want to make a donation. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you that you make a big to-do over nothing. This would be specifically for Paul. He just wrote, you know, how I always run into, when I'm talking with someone, the difficulty of they want an explanation about what is commander and their skepticism. Don't burden yourself with it. I want it to stand on the word of truth. And once the truth is accepted, they can more easily accept the possibility of its resource. Don't make your walls higher than they need to be. Your thrust is always, well, I want to make sure that they know that I work in light and I work for God. You can do that without saying a word about Space Command. Now, you're going to have ones ask you, well, who the soup is this Hapton that shows up on almost every column? Well, this one is your foreign correspondent. And this week we have three foreign correspondents other than myself. Father Cleary, Michael, and David. They are working on pretty in-depth articles in the Far East, in the area of Malaysia. We have one or two foreign correspondents, one in Nigeria, one in Austria. It's a good paper. And then we have some that are a little farther foreign correspondents. And we'll hear from a couple of them today. Don't make your journey harder than it is. And in order to cover this, I have to be aware that we have two things going on. There are always problems. There are always newcomers. There are always ones that are sharing with us. And maybe they haven't heard the lecture about the location, the participation, what it is, what it isn't. The real bindings and pain that come with coming here sounds really good. Looks really good. Boy, this has got to be almost as hot as sitting in Jay-Z Knight's room. With one exception, we don't have a Jay-Z Knight. We don't have an entertainer. I am pleased if you come here to these meetings and you're entertained. Don't misunderstand. But Dorma does not feel like an entertainer, would prefer never to be up here. And we've wiped out her hands for many of the tasks and things that she enjoyed doing. Correspondence, she can hardly, for any length of time at all, hold a pen, you know, to write. We have built sheaths around tendons to the point that no longer is the flexibility there of the fingers. But the bits of arthritis that she had, we got rid of for her. Now, there are just some real good things coming, and she shrinks because she says, oh, no, not a new product, not a new subject, not a new person, not a new nothing, Dad. Please. Well, how else am I going to reach most of you? And this is a community of corporations and people sharing. We must work together, and we must do it correctly. If we cannot do it correctly, it's not going to be done ever. There isn't somebody else that's going to come and fix it for you. And that means you've got to walk through a lot of what you will hear. Someone sent her a beautiful little card. Three lazy old cows laying around, stumbling around in this cow pasture. It was for her birthday. And it said, on your birthday, I have a wish for you. May you're running around in the cow pasture, the great cow pasture of life, be filled with wit. And your shoes be free of holes. So may you keep your shoes intact and you won't get any of that other stuff on you. But it means you must pay attention. Wit and humor are your guidelines. Your enemy will pick at the damnedest things you've ever witnessed. Jean can attest to this. What are they doing from US&P? What did they hang Dorma for? Give her an additional sentence and judgment for extraordinary contempt of court, except on several statements. One being, I use the term swine. Oh, in reference to US&P people. Well, I wasn't aiming that so much at US&P as I was at other parties involved. But they took it to heart, and it's okay. I will at some point give them their lesson on casting pearls before the swine. If I came across as derogative or derogatory towards them, fine, that's what I intended. Sometimes I wonder if they're bright enough to notice. And that, too, is not an insult, except you down there at US&P should take lessons from your president. Tim Binder is a lighted individual. He is a healer. And had he not gotten involved in it this way, he would have been your ally. It is the lack of understanding of the message involved, the pearls involved that are crushed and hidden and driven into the ground and buried. That is the objection. Thank you. But there's something else, and you lawyers, and we've got two coming up right away that are pretty sharp, making a very good team here. But you miss things, little things, insignificant things that you can just have fun with, but I think that you need to note them. Play the game like your enemy plays the game. In addition to objecting to my term swine, they quoted another sentence. I have used it just to show you the importance of the material, the information. So I said somewhere, this is so important, that you should beg, borrow, and yes, perhaps steal a volume to get the information. I didn't intend that you go out and steal from your brother, but how many of you read or heard me say, buy or sell? I said beg, borrow, or steal. But Dorma got hanged for soliciting the purchase of and the selling of. Trite, absolutely. Remember, your enemy has nothing but triteness upon which to base anything he does. And be careful. You have to look out for self. And if you get everything lined up with self, all the rest will follow. But sometimes in your eagerness to appear giving whatever you want to appear, you make blunders that are really detrimental to you and come back to hit you. I'm going to, in a minute, talk very in depth, very bluntly. And once again, anyone new into our presence has to understand this is not church. This is our opportunity with the ones who serve here in various capacities to come together and hopefully not only listen to a lecture, but communicate. And we have something happening. You see, the minute that we started petitioning to allow John his freedom, all of the problems come up out of the woodwork on the other side. And now we have a brother that would like to run his books, John's, but he doesn't really want any part of the responsibility of the man. He makes that clear very subtly by saying, well, he's made his, and he was so much smarter and better and all these things and brilliant and knew how to manage better than John. And then he's going to take over the conservatorship of John from Eleanor. Oh, no, he's not. Or if John agrees to that after he has had an opportunity for equal input, you see, you bar any one of his friends from coming into his presence. If you get into his presence, most of the meeting is taking place in front of the owner of the hospital, his place of present incarceration. John needs to be conservator of himself, be gotten out of that place with or without funding, brought into the presence of his friends and family, not those relatives that want to conserve over him, and he can, through power of attorney, make arrangements with ones to do for him, pay his bills, do whatever. But you see, this brother backs Patricia right into a corner. She wants to serve. She wants to help. She's willing to have John in with her or go to John's dwelling or whatever is required so that John can get out. So we have a tendency to begin to make errors. I have said, let's get him out. We'll face these others. But we don't just get him out. If the court has some way applied this conservatorship to someone even less caring or interested, only in a different way than what he has. And neither do you sign contracts with this one so that you have to be a warden over this man. And that's where Patricia was being backed up. And I won't sit still for the abuse of another person under the guise of doing good. You know, it was, I'll make the rules, you sign the contract, he may not drive, I will tell you what he can do, I will tell you what he can have, I will tend his books, I will pay the bill. No. If there were only three people in the world, and John Schreffer moved in with Patricia, and he wanted to give her every cent he gets for the rest of his life and made up to now, it's his business. Do you understand me? Nobody is trying to get anything from John except his sovereignty. It is a lesson for all of you. And that's why I believe it is incredibly important that we take that up and read what I wrote, if you brought it. E.J.
Yes, sir. Written Saturday, November the 20th. I come this morning to clarify explicitly that which I see happening, and it is not tolerable in this free society wherein one always wishes to control and keep freedom of choices from another. What I see one's about to do is less acceptable to God's laws than to leave John incarcerated in an objective prison wherein his physical needs are attended, but the soul is left to wither on the vine. Decisions are about to be made which only transfers one unliving mistress for that of another. He is not an infant whose care falls to parents who should love him for that which he is, and not that for which he brings in pieces of silver. Let us speak bluntly and openly about this circumstance. John petitions me, to give some guidance in this confusion. I did not say his confusion, I said this confusion. Release from one prison just to be incarcerated in another is ludicrous. Does John have impairment? Yes, but I believe all of you see that impairment limitations are only shackles that are as limiting as prison bars. Are you efforting to regain John's freedom for him, or are you efforting to see to it that he cannot grow? You have seen John regain to a better status than just at onset of this experience. There is no reason that John cannot regain memory, function, and participation in living, not just exist in a state of readiness for death. This means that the man must have control over his destiny, property, and choices within the laws of the land. For example, if the laws determine that John may have restricted driving allowance until proven capability is restored and fairly tested, then so be it. This should not be left to a brother, ex-wife, or anyone else hundreds of miles distant. If you take on the responsibility of John's care and loving experience as you are seeking to accomplish, it must be on your terms, you see. Let us assume that all goes well and conservatorship passes to brother. What have you accomplished? John's freedom? No. You have passed a less interested party's participation to one only slightly more pressed into service. You got your answers in the onset. No one in John's family wanted any part of his care, his visitation, or his plight. Now, when the law confronts the confiners, they are pulled from their security nests and forced to participate in some manner. John is lonely and vulnerable, and to be wanted and loved and out will succumb to anything just to accomplish that act. No, it is unacceptable. At this very point, John is no less functional than are 90% of the persons his age. He needs help, not babysitters. He needs responsibility for self. He needs to make decisions regarding his living and expression. Anything less is not even constitutional. Remember that old document, friends? Love and charity both begin at home. and to attribute with family, friends, and where John needs to be and wants to be. No choices must be made, and he must be given support in order to be able to accomplish this. What to do? Firstly, shut down this assumed conservancy, period. Let it be understood that someone gets inside to talk and share with John. He does not know his own options yet. How can you be making arrangements for John without being able to conference with him? So, firstly, get me in there that I might counsel with him, or for goodness sakes, get yourselves in there to counsel in our behalf. Do not let John sign anything or allow a court to appoint any other conservator. John, at the least, is capable of deciding who is in his immediate circle can assist him. What is being worked out here and now is to have a brother who showed no interest in participation with the remainder of a man's life now wanting to control John's estate. Not John, other than on the books. His estate. What else does a man have for his years of labor than his estate? Do you gain physical freedom only to have all up to this time lost to his control? How do you manage to have input regarding this circumstance? You demand that no decisions be made immediately as to conservators. Then, and this one will be hard for you loving persons who just want John out, you must make your own demands. This includes Patricia, who is willing but will hate her own incarceration as she is manipulated and run by someone a long way distant. If the man, James, really wanted the best for his brother, he would be down here in constant counsel. Further, he would be attempting with all his might to bring John within his functioning, or not functioning, family of his own caretaking. But no, all this man wants to contribute is running John's bank account. So, let us assume that John also wishes his brother to run his bank account. What does that leave you ones in the presence and tending of John? You will be furnishing all of the work and time to sort for James John's affairs. You do not have the time to give unto such business affairs. It is going to be a dastardly task at best, and the ones least able to give the time will be absorbed in nothing else while the warden finds out all the details. If indeed James wants responsibility, fine. He will take the full responsibility, for you have not the time for babysitting feeble old men who are waiting to die. We are in the business of life and productivity in life, not tending those who are already assumed senile and dead. John is no older than many of you here, and consider that carefully as you close doors. Necessary tending, indeed. Right reasons, love and charity for a brother in need. James sees no improvement in John as an expected outcome. He said so. He is looking for a place where he can contractually have John placed. He will take the pocketbook and control, but will not participate in care. No, thank you, team. If John chooses to do this, then John needs to be living with James, or it indicates John wishes to be tended, but either way, he shall be desperately unhappy. To be whole, John must have conservatorship over himself. If he needs help, it is available from any one or all of dozens of well-qualified persons, eager and willing to assist him. There are millions more who, for a fee, will manage his affairs at his request. If he can't drive himself, he's perfectly able to have someone drive him to his requested destinations in his own vehicle. Do you see what I demand? His right to choose and participate in his own experience. John must have the dignity afforded him of ability to choose his employees, placement, property control, and regain his life, which has been stripped by ones with greedy, hateful hearts. To do this, he must have freedom in which to decide his participation. If he wants to have James control his life, then he has no rights to impose his person upon the shoulders of you ones, with other tasks to fulfill. If he wants to work and participate here, welcome aboard.
By the time he needs total care, as with all who eventually reach the age of needing caretaking, there will be facilities for that purpose, and it will not be prison. Now, you can do that which you decide to do as persons who offer to take responsibility for assistance, but I shall tell you right here and now, you will either effort to see these possibilities, or do not ask me for further guidance. John has asked me for help. Help is, here is help I can give. Wisdom and vision. This day, because John is in prison with no visitation except by enemy chosen, would-be controllers, he does not realize his choices, and he will grasp at anything that offers change. Change is not always better. It is often, as with your nation, massively destructive. If money is a consideration, he shall be tended here with no money, but not the handouts of ones who do not want the man except for the first term. We do not deal in money, we deal in that which is right, that of necessity considers money to the extent of its basic need, no other. Get John out, established in his own house, and God will see to his condition. This is an exercise and test for you as much as for one called John. There are a dozen places John could stay for the next few days or for the weeks it may take to get control of his dwelling and furnishings enough to live decently. He can stay right here in my house. He can room in with Al, Charles, Rick, Nora, Audrey, Patricia, etc., etc., etc. Go through the list, my friends, and if you can find any one of the listed to be unwilling, they are not of need at any rate. Do you understand? The point is not to place John, the point is to restore John and his sovereign individual dignity. Would you once, one by one, wish to be John's warden? Then why would you give that power to ones who cast him aside when he was being destroyed by the beast? This family of John's denied him and sided totally with Eleanor to incarcerate this man forever. This meant as well to strip him of everything he had, including dignity. The only reason one's come up from the woodwork now is that you have precipitated a legal action to free John. It was expected that John would never recover or die. Now that you have fought for his freedom, do not desert him. Now in his greater hour of need, and serve him into the hands of more controllers. Get his freedom or get out of his life. But how can it work if Eleanor is still his wife and has joined everything with John? Norma asks Esme and all of you here. She must be removed as any part of the decision making as to John's disposition and choices. All. How do you accomplish as much? Legally. He must sever her from his legal binding. I believe you call it divorce. That is what Eleanor called it. Prior to John's final indisposition, Eleanor wanted a divorce. She had already begun for years to prepare for Sam in order that she would get it all. She had already siphoned off as many assets into her son's care as she could hide and smuggle out. She had a full-blown plan as to getting rid of John. These are bitter words, friends, but you need to know that with which you are working. For you are efforting to take some burden in this exchange. I am not ready yet to tell you what actually happened the day of John's fall, but it is far more dastardly than has been presented to you, and if needs be, we will bring it to the forefront as a belief in what may have happened. John did have a slight stroke which caused him to fall, but the cause of the little stroke is what is most interesting. Where was Eleanor when the fall occurred? Stuck in a chair and couldn't get out? She could get out with anything else she desired. John says he was hit over the head from the balcony. My goodness, I didn't hit over the head in such manner. My two befores are quite different. Circumstantial possibilities? Well, it should have consideration. She loathed John according to her own words and abandoned him instantly. When he was incarcerated, abandoned him. She will not return phone calls, letters, nothing. This in exchange for years of John's total attending of her needs. Now you would allow his life to be controlled otherwise by another in an even more distant location. If there is to be a snatching of conservatorship, then place the man wherein the conservator is located. And if John chooses that route, then you have to respect his choice and release him so that you can get on with your own tasks. Do I make myself clear? This is our mission here, and workers are a part of that mission, not the mission. What John needs most is time, in freedom, without pressures of such as conservators and restrictions. He needs good nutrition, supplementation, and freedom from the worry and pressures. Immediately, there needs to be legal action started which will require his facing his responsibility for self. Actions can be started which will get the ball rolling for the regaining of his property and his individual sovereignty. If conservators are necessary later, so be it. Do not allow it to happen now. John, if he is to regain any of his property, from a bid to his autos to his very pensions, must sever legally the ties which allow Eleanor to bind him. Next, he must be allowed to regain occupancy of his house, not simply shift from rented room to rented room. The man has a home, automobiles, and self-worth. He is not to be handled as a ten weight of meat on a market counter to be quibbled over. Can you unsee? This is you. This is you. If the rights of an individual sovereign citizen cannot be respected, how think ye your nation will allow constitutional rights? It begins and ends with you. Eleanor spoke to several parties within 2 weeks of her departure from Tehachapi that she was going to divorce John. She blamed him for everything, all her misery and all her losses, which are invented and non-existent. The reason she did not get a divorce is that her son and attorneys pointed out that she would get everything if she captured conservatorship over John. She refused to even visit her injured husband, claiming that no one would take her. BS. That stands for Balderdash Squashpot. Each of you offered and did attend her. Eleanor's the one who instigated and followed through with the uprising of Jordan Green. Her actions state that she is not interested in John, but very interested in his property. She has enough of her own to terrify her of the loss of it, and she will lose it to her loving son. Do you wish to see John stripped of his also? Would you want someone to come to your defense? This is you, you know. Now I ask you in good reason. What is the rush to put this man into conservatorship? Nobody on that side wanted any part of John until you ones here took control and offered help to his plea and helplessness. Not wife, not family, no one. Now that it is stirring around, suddenly everyone with possibilities of gain want in on the kill. No, it is not acceptable. If there needs to be temporary conservatorship or immediate care and beginning actions, the Constitutional Law Center will be most happy to take the responsibility right in John's dooryard if he be here in Tehachapi. His business would be run by him in council with functionaries who could sort and assist and still have the control with John. These things can be handled by simple power of attorney forms allotting very narrow limits on the holder. In other words, John can hire ones to do certain tasks for him, just as he can hire a bookkeeper. John would not be a pauper, as legally claimed by Rod and Eleanor, if he could get back his pension, social security, insurance, and control of his business. He does not need welfare. He needs respect as a human being. Now to be a bit harder on you ones in this location. If you cannot allow this man his dignity and see to its happening, that he gain freedom, ye are not of my team. There is no point in struggling for national freedom if you will not fight for your brother that he might have his. Some of you might say, well, I didn't volunteer to tend some old man. Didn't you? then you didn't volunteer for service with God. For as you have done unto the least of mine, so have ye done it unto me. This is where it is, my children, right here with the old man. Does this mean that if you don't want to take the full responsibility for saying, then you're bad? No, it means that your job is other, and wisely you check your own resources, physical and emotional. This is not a commune, but this is how you learn to manage that all who would might survive and make passage in truth. So, how do you convince John? You demand that nothing be legally done to him while he has freedom, until he has freedom of action. Choices without pressure and time to confront the circumstances, with support of loving people who will effort diligently to obtain that which he wishes. Know that any person will choose the lesser of two places of incarceration if that be the only option is presented. Now for Dharma. Won't I be blamed, she said. Yes? Are ye of such little faith and endurance that you cannot accept same in my name? Have I failed you, that you would fail to accept credit for clear thought, reason, standing forth for your brother? Are you so weak in your faith and trust in God, our Father, that you would fail to respond to a brother's call because you fear being blamed? You are blamed for everything else. Why would you drag your feet when you can actually win one for God? Quote, well, they might drag me into court to blame me, she retorted. No. So, what else is new? She said, have you not seen the inside workings of the courtroom? Besides, everyone else seems to have right of opinion. Cannot the reason for John's being in this location have right of expression? John knows the truth of his circumstance and how and who got him into this fine kettle of fish. Himself. Because he allowed manipulation until he forgot he was a man and became a doormat, unworthy of service to anyone, including self. How do you know whether or not John will regain full function? You don't. So be it. This is an opportunity for each and all of you to consider your own status. What will happen to you? You, Al, you, Charles, you, Zita, etc. Who will control your destiny? I speak of the only place in which freedoms are left to you. It must be considered, and it must be considered beyond the property will. What will happen to you? Who will come to protect you and yours? Quote, ye are either with me or ye are against me, saith the Lord thy God. This is the way of service. Man calls in sincerity unto God. God calls on us. We of the higher realms point the way. You do the work. Fair? God didn't say anything about fair. God is just. Go wash your hands, the scribe, not of the business at hand, but cleanse the residual from the citronella plants you just handled. You're breaking out in a rash, which will sorely annoy you shortly. I believe this is sufficient. To begin to sort feelings, we can discuss this further on the morrow at our gathering. There are no greater lessons to be learned than this. In love and patience, I stand aside. Thank you for coming early to service this day on behalf of your brother. I shall not fail thee, scribe, for I know your doubts and tribulations. I shall not fail.
When we write, when we speak, you have to understand the lack of her presence. You're not paying attention. All of you, well, some, most of you, have been privy to the times that she's literally gone to sleep, and I can't get her back. And this is good, for instance, if she sees it run across her screen, she'll look. And it will register because it's her name.
May we hold a minute?